Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of Talking Llama, a podcast about The Sims. I'm happy that you tuned in today again. I'm sorry for being away so long, but you know, sometimes life happens and yeah. But I'm back again and I'm super inspired, and I also got super inspired for today's episode. So stay tuned, get yourself something nice to drink, get comfy, and we will start right away. Yeah, so like I said, I got super inspired for today's episode. Maybe 2 or 3 days ago, when the kit released, and also days after the kit released, and it got me thinking. I wanted to talk today about how content in general in The Sims 4 developed over the last 7 years, because I think that's quite an interesting question, and I ask myself some questions in order to prepare that podcast. I did some research on Twitter, I watched some YouTube videos, I wrote down some things for myself, and the question I ask myself about that is, how did the art style of Build and Buy and Create a Sim change over the last years, and how the quality of content when it comes to kits, but also when it comes to other DLCs, changed, developed, increased, decreased, I don't know, and what did change and what stayed the same within content, and last but not least, how much more customization is needed for Build and Buy and Create a Sim in a Sims game in 2021. Yes, but first of all, I have to give a quick shout out to two of my friends on Twitter. We had conversation about those themes, and I asked for their opinions before I recorded that episode, obviously. I appreciate that very much, that they gave me their opinions, and I will quote them on 2 or 3 parts in the podcasts. But first of all, I want to give you their names. On Twitter, they are The Henford Hen and Jonard. I have their names also in my show notes, and definitely go and check their Twitter out. I want to start off with introducing you to The Henford Hen. He makes some pretty good posts about The Sims content in general and knows probably every single thing about the game. It's quite impressive. So whatever question you have, he's probably has the right answer. And go and check out his posts. He especially does a lot about content quality and also have some video and photo proofs all the time and makes some really good points. So definitely go and check that out. Then we have Jonard. He has a Sims YouTube channel and I love watching his videos. So also definitely go and check his YouTube out. I will also link the YouTube in the show notes. And if you like to watch challenges, let's plays, or ranking videos, that's definitely a go-to. We talked about the episode because I wanted to have their opinions. And like I said, I'm going to quote them on 2 or 3 parts in the podcast. A little disclaimer right now. This episode is just about my own opinions, and when I quote my friends or other users, their opinions. So be gentle, it's just opinions, and definitely share your opinion with me if you agree or disagree. I'm super curious to hear, because I love hearing different opinions when it comes to, in general, when it comes to a lot of themes, but in particular now to this episode and what I'm going to talk about, because I probably will continue to do some research on that. Yes, The Sims 4 is actually turning 7 years this week, and there were a lot of packs over the last 7 years released. Until today, we have 4 types of DLCs in the franchise. We've got the biggest type of DLCs, expansion packs, followed by game packs, stuff packs, and stuff packs followed by kits. That means they are added 2 more DLC types compared to the other games in the franchise. Sims 1 just had expansion packs. The Sims 2 and The Sims 3 had expansion and stuff packs. And now with The Sims 4, we've got introduced game packs and kits. We've got some we've got quite some packs this year, and all of them, in my opinion, set really good examples of how content can be and should be, and how content maybe should be not. I want to give you a quick rundown of what we've got so far, just that you also have a small overview. In January, we started off with the Paranormal Stuff Pack, what was followed in March by the first three kits introduced to the franchise. That was the kits, that was the Throwback Fit Kit, the Country Kitchen Kit, and the Busted Dust Kit. We had a, that was actually a Creative Sim Kit, Build and Buy Kit, and Gameplay Kit. That those are the three categories kits could come in. In May, we've got the Courtyard Oasis Kit, which was also a Build and Buy Kit. And in June, we've got the Dream Home Decorator Game Pack. In July, we've got the Cottage Living Expansion Pack. And in August, we've got the Industrial Loft Kit, which also was a Build and Buy Kit. So until August this year, that's 8 DLCs. And I think 8 DLCs within 8 months is probably the most amount of paid content we've got in that period of time so far. So that's quite a lot. Hasn't been like that before, and definitely shows that paid content is increasing. To start off, I want to say some words on kits. Kits, like I said, got introduced this year, and there was quite some controversy, and there still is quite some controversy about that. Not everybody's happy about that, and I totally get both points, like the negative and also the positive points, because like I said, it's controversial, but I will come to that later on. According to Sims team, kits should provide us with small bits of content, and with no doubt, in my opinion, they are the most expensive DLC type when you do the math for how much one asset costs. The kit is $5, so $5 or 5 euros or whatever currency, and or the equal to whatever currency. And all the other DLCs are basically coming with Create a Sim, Build and Buy, and Gameplay. So those three categories make the three big categories that you can purchase with buying DLCs. Kids are just focusing on one of those categories. So the expectations on this one category that comes with a selected amount of items is quite high, because you are paying a lot of money in comparison to other DLCs. And I know it sounds like, yeah, it's just $5, but compared to the number of items you get, they are really expensive. According to my friend, the Hanford Hen, for example, kits were shipped with very, very different quality. For example, the Country Kitchen Kit has been shipped with broken textures for the counters when they got dirty. That has been fixed by now, but still. For example, has been one of the first kits. But also, the Busted Dust Kit has been shipped broken on launch. Most of the bugs, I think, have been fixed by now, but in the beginning, that was completely broken. And you can also watch a couple of YouTube videos on that. I don't get when you introduce a completely new DLC type that obviously nothing really has been tested. About the Creative Sim Kit, I don't know, to be honest, but I also didn't hear any bad things that something has been broken. But I also feel that broken textures and all that isn't that big of a deal when it comes to Create a Sim. That's more case when it comes to gameplay or Build and Buy. So quality control hasn't just been a problem with kits. We see that constantly, especially when it comes to paid content. Often very obvious bugs don't get noticed before shipping. And the thing is, it's not that it happens all the time. So the Courtyard Oasis Kit, for example, is a really good example for high quality assets from release on, and I think nothing really has been broken in that kit. So we see that they really can do that, and it doesn't have to be the case. What I want to say is that I don't want to blame the Sim Gurus or the Sims team or any team members on that, because I think it's totally normal that humans make mistakes. And I think we all know that. But to be honest, that's where quality control should come in, because I give you an example. I know it's a lot of examples today, but did you ever work on, for example, an essay for school or some article for work and probably oversaw the same spelling mistake over and over again? For sure, because I think everybody experienced that. But that's where quality control comes in. So you usually like get somebody to read it through and to make you aware of the mistakes you probably overread a couple of times because you were so deep in your project that you probably didn't see it anymore. And that's totally human. That's normal. And I don't want to blame anybody for that. But you can, like I said, you can discover mistakes with somebody else looking over it. But also, the next thing is quality control takes for sure time and costs money. So what do you save on when you run either out of time or of budget? Probably quality control. And I mean, I don't know it, but from what we see as a result, I think that could maybe be the case, that that's the part where they save on. But I think for a game that is so expensive than The Sims is, that really shouldn't be the case. And I don't want to say that I want to have a game shipped without any bugs, because that's probably just not reality. You cannot discover everything, and having bugs is really common within the gaming industry and also when it comes to software and all that, because you cannot discover everything. Everybody has their different systems and all that, totally reasonable. But some things, like I said, are obvious and they should be discovered more from release on. Like I said, kids, broken textures, when counters get dirty. I think maybe there's not a lot of gameplay quality control, but just my opinion. I wrote down some points about kits, good ones and bad ones, and I want to start off with the good ones, because I think there are actually good points about kits. I don't want to bash kits in general. I think there is a controversy, and I think we should talk about it, and we should also be aware of it, but I don't think that kits in general are bad. A good point about having kits is that they actually really can provide some really niche content. For example, like the Courtyard Oasis kit did, this small piece of content can be worked focused on, and that can be done very well. I talked to Jannard about that, and he pointed out to me that you probably don't really have to get kits if they don't fit your game or your playstyle, and that they are so small and niche, and that makes them really specific, and that's, I think, a really good point. You don't miss out on too much if you don't have it because you did purchase it, if you don't want to get it. It's different with bigger DLCs, but kits are so small and specific that they're not really needed for the game or to have certain experiences, maybe. Yeah, but of course, where good points are, there are also negative points. I saw that on Twitter, and it really got me thinking. A user called JackOfAllGames7 wrote that and made a really good tweet about that. Like I said, got me thinking that size of the kits, this type of content was free before. I give you an example. He made the example that the freelancer update and the Caribbean update were free before, and the amount of items or features we got with that pretty much has been the size of kits getting released now. So I ask myself the question, why is the quality decreasing? Because I don't remember those updates were bringing a lot of bugs or texture mistakes or whatever. So why is the quality decreasing when the price we have to pay is actually increasing? Because Like before, we didn't really have to pay for that. I don't want to say that kids in general should be free, but I want to point out that we've got shipped sometimes broken things, and that sometimes is actually pretty often. And but we have to pay for it where we didn't have to pay before, and the quality was better before. Doesn't really sit right with me. In general, I think that kids should be unique and include objects or assets that we don't already have in-game. The newest kid set's a good example, but I think also other kids we've got so far. In my opinion, a lot of the items are not so much different from what we already have in the game. That, I don't know, I think the Courtyard Races kid set a really good example of what a kid could be. But in my opinion, it's pretty much the only one. Another negative point is that the kids give me Sims 3 store wipes where you had to pay a lot of money for not a lot of content. I don't know how to feel about that. But still, kids are so small that they are actually not really needed in the game. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, going back to build and buy and create a sim again. I think the quality of content we've got so far did increase over the last years. The Sims team actually showed what they can do with the game and that they can make some pretty awesome assets and features. The Sims 4, in my opinion, has been a pretty game ever since. But they also stepped up their game when it comes to build and buy and create a sim. Content got way more detailed, the textures got better, but what they really can just provide until today is more flexibility when it comes to customizing those assets. I'm talking about being more flexible with the color swatches here. I don't talk about a color wheel in particular, but maybe some simple flexibility like choosing, for example, when it comes to bed, the sheets and the frames separately. Will be cool. A big point is always, and Jarnard pointed that out to me, that male creative sim assets are lacking, and that in general, in his opinion, a better customization would be great, maybe in some parts with introducing a color wheel. But something that Jarnard also thinks is that facial hair and hair lengths should be more customizable, and I totally agree with that. And I mean, we can be honest, CC creators are already providing us with this flexibility of customization. So it is possible. And I also think that that is a huge struggle for the Sims team, because CC creators show off the possibilities that are possible within the game. And it can't be denied anymore that some things aren't actually possible. I mean, I totally get the point that some problems are coming from the base game that is very hard or maybe also impossible to change today. I get that. And I also do understand that the team cannot provide every possibility that CC does to us, because one of the main points is always that the Sims game should run on a lot of systems. And I totally agree with that, because probably a huge majority of Sims players don't own a gaming PC, and making the game more accessible to a huge variety of gamers is, in my opinion, a good thing. Yeah, and like I said, some problems are maybe base game problems, and it's hard to work around on that, and I totally get that. I hope that they will fix it within the next game of the franchise. But coming back to the thing that separating the bed frame from the sheets, I think it's probably possible, because we see CC that does that. But I think it would mean quite some work for the team to go over every single bed and build that new up that you can choose the sheets and the bed frame separately. That would probably, like I said, mean quite some work to do. So I see why they maybe don't do it. I an example we saw with the Dream Home Decorator Pack that sectional sofas were requested for a while now. Also a good point for customization because you can fit a couch into probably every single building, no matter how big or small it is. It's a good point to be able to customize that. But what they didn't do is they didn't make every couch sectional. I mean, would probably have been super much work to do that and to pick almost every single piece over the last 7 years and changing that. I get it. They simply made a new couch type and then they kept it exclusive for the game pack, what in the first place isn't in general a bad thing. I understand that there have to be some exclusive points to packs that people buy it. I mean, that's the way the franchise is making money, so I get it. Also, the sectional sofas are functioning slightly different from other sofas in the game, so that's basically a new type of object. But I think it's a good example for how you can provide more customization without having to work over the whole game. That probably doesn't go with every object that we want to have to be more customizable, but they are trying, and I like to see that. But another point that CC provides is that when we get new surfaces in the game, let it being like desks or shelves, we don't get a lot of slots to place items on. And CC can provide that because when you download CC objects, there are many slots to put clutter on and to make everything feel a little bit more alive. Another point, and then I go to the next, is that also items are less detailed in gameplay today compared to other games in the franchise. For example, bookshelves filled up over 3 stages in The Sims 2. And also the pizza pieces, when you ordered a pizza, were really taken away when you sim grabbed the slice of pizza. So you saw how many slices were left on the pizza. That's not a thing in The Sims 4, because either you have a full pizza or non-pizza. It drives me crazy. But that's just a thing, and I think some CC can provide that, what The Sims 4 game cannot provide. Yeah, I mean, okay, some things we just have to accept how they are, but I want to point that out on here because that's what that episode is about, and I want to be honest with that. But a good point, we maybe didn't get a lot more slots on objects, but the objects itself got more detailed. So, for example, couches now often come with blankets or pillows on them. But they are attached to the couch, so you cannot remove or change them. And bookshelves have some decorative items on them. So that's a good point because everything feels a bit more alive, and I think that's a very good point. So they're trying, maybe they don't can give us the whole possibilities, but they try to give the things, or they try to give us some aspects of that. Yeah. And another point I have to talk about is plants, because plants are the holy grail of the Sims community. I will die on that hill with that statement. I think that's totally a thing. So for quite some time now, people are pointing out that plants go darker when you place them inside. Guess what? The new plant, or in general, new plants we've got with the huge amount of DLCs we've got this year, are all turning dark inside. I don't get it. That's something obvious. And in general, like, lighting issues are a little bit of a problem for quite some time now. And I think pretty much, I don't get it. Why is that the case with new items we've got? It's fixable. We saw that they fixed it. They fixed it on the counters and they fixed it on the sectional couches. So why isn't it possible to fix that on the plants? Don't really get it. My friend the Hanford Hen made a couple of tweets with photo and video examples about that problem, about the lighting issue with the plants. And I think that's a huge thing that has to be improved, that really has to be improved, because I don't know, it's just sad because every plant looks super dark inside, and that goes for, I think, almost every single plant. The next point about plants is that with the new kit, we've got a pampergrass plant, but we just got a pampergrass plant in Dream Home Decorator. The pampergrass from Dream Home Decorator is way more detailed. And in my opinion, the one from the kit looks, first of all, low textured. The pot feels like some plant pot we already saw in base game before. And the style doesn't really fit the industrial vibe. And also the art style that it's made in doesn't fit the style of the kit, because the kit is very like high-end, very high detailed, and some objects, especially the pampas grass, isn't at all. That's very weird, because on the other hand, the terrarium plant that we've got with the new kit looks very detailed and unique. So why? I don't get it. In general, I have to say that some of the items in the latest kit feel more like gap fillers to increase the object count. I don't want to bash the kit here, but in my opinion, most of the items we already have in base game or different DLCs, and the amount of real, unique, and new items is actually not that high. I like the idea of a industrial loft kit, but I was hoping to get more unique items and more items we don't have in game. There are a couple of YouTube videos out there where people point out that the majority of the objects we've got, we have in some kind already in game. So in general, when we just compare the assets in the packs this year, there's a wide span of quality. Also talked to that about my friend, the Hanford Hen, and he made a really good point. He feels like whenever The Sims is releasing a well-done pack, that pack is often followed by a pack with a lot of controversy surrounding. And I like the wording controversy surrounding, because I think that really hits the mark. So I give you a quick rundown on that again. So the year started off really good with paranormal stuff. The items and the game pack have been... the items and the gameplay, sorry, not the game pack. It's a stuff pack. The items and the gameplay have been really good. The gameplay was a lot compared to other stuff packs. The qualities of the items in Build and Buy and Create a Sim has been really good. And we've got some really unique things in Create a Sim and in Build and Buy. So totally love that. The stuff pack was followed by the three introduced kits. And the first three kits, two of the three kits, were kind of broken. So, okay, I don't get it. The three kits were followed by another kit that was the Courtyard Oasis kit. That has been really good again. So no problem with that. Love it. Then Dreamham Decorator has been released with more items than gameplay. What in the first place is not a problem, but there has been some controversy about it, because game pack, gameplay lacking is maybe a little bit of a problem. The next point is that the gameplay wasn't much at all, but on the other hand, the gameplay that was included also was broken. That was the Dream Home Decorator Career, and I think it's kind of broken until today. So I don't know, that's maybe not a good look. Yeah. The only gameplay feature that was included was buggy, so has it been tested at all? That was my question about that. But Dream Home Decorator was followed by Cottage Living, which was a super nice surprise. The expansion in general is done really nice, and I think also the assets were pretty nice. A huge negative point about it, that it was, again, lacking in male assets, but that's in general a point that we have in a lot of later introduced DLCs, in my opinion. Yes, so the expansion was nice. And I think about the latest kit that was released afterwards, I've talked enough about. But there's one thing I didn't talk about. That was the window controversy. So controversy surroundings. You notice it? The marketing was slightly misleading because the marketing used a cinematic photo or small video that showed a window that was actually not included in the pack. They will add the window afterwards. They said that the window wasn't finished, but I wondered. They announced the kit 2 days before it was released. So they obviously already knew that the window wouldn't be included. So why not pushing the release back a week or a few days backwards to add the window and then release it? I mean, kits don't come with a lot of items anyway. So it feels more like that the marketing was misleading. Somebody pointed it out to them and then they like try to, they noticed their mistake and they are adding the window now. I don't know if that was the case, but that is how it feels like. Just thinking loud. Yeah, so I talk pretty much a lot and I hope that you still can follow me. I want to quickly come back to my questions that I asked in the first place. So how did Build and Buy and Create a Sim change over time? In my opinion, it did change. My friend Janard thinks that maybe not every pack and everything that is released is for everyone, and I totally agree on that. We're different simmers with different opinions, and I think that's totally okay and totally fine. But to sum it up, in the first years of the game, I think items and features and assets and whatever has been kept very simple. Also, textures haven't been as high-end as they are today sometimes. And the style pretty much has mostly been Max's Match. But I think we see some influence of way more detailed alpha elements. I think that's okay for some cases. Me personally, I don't like if they overdo it. Yes, I still think that quality control in general has to be done more and also better. But coming back to the style, I think especially with the new kit, we see that Alpha CC influence that they are trying to bring in. And yeah, not everybody likes that, but they still try to keep it Max's Match. So I'm fine with that. But I'm thinking especially about the couch and the cedar looks very much Alpha influenced to me. And stands a little bit out. So sometimes I don't know what you think about that. But in general, I have to say that the details on items got a lot more, and I think that's a good thing. But we also have to consider that graphics got a lot better, and so computer systems did. And of course, there is some change in that long time period. In the tech industry, 7 years can feel like a decade, and everything is developing super fast. In general, we also have to say that every game of the franchise has its own art style or style in general. For me personally, I just think they should stick a little bit more to their art style because that is what makes it unique. Yeah, but coming to another question was that how is the quality of content when it comes to kits, but also when it comes to our DLCs? You notice the questions and everything I said ties in pretty much within each other. I think the quality is actually very different. Like when we talk about the art style, I think the quality is high, but the quality of things that get released is not very constant. So when it comes to the art style, like I said, they're getting better, they're getting more detailed. But when it comes to features in the game or features within the objects, like objects getting dirty or objects break, sometimes that totally get overlooked and then the textures break. And for Creative Sim, like the male assets are lacking. And I think that is also a quality problem a little bit. And another thing that was pointed out a couple of times is that gender-neutral clothing isn't really paid attention to. And I think that especially needs improvement. Gender-neutral clothing and male clothing in particular, and also getting more details for making male sims, especially body hair, facial hair, that needs more attention. And I think that's important. Next question, what did change and what stayed the same within the content? I think what actually did change is that the franchise tries to provide more paid content. The problem that I have with that is that the quality control is often missing or just lacking. I don't know if there is quality control, how that has been done, but the outcome of that is very obvious just because some things don't get noticed. In general, I think more content is a good thing because it makes the game more customizable for the players. And I think that's always nice to have. When it comes to the kids, they're supposed to add niche content, but in my opinion, we barely saw niche content. We saw that once or twice. There was the Oasis kid and the vacuuming kid. The vacuuming kid came broken, but added a unique experience of vacuuming your Sims houses. You can decide on your own if you like that or not. I enjoy having it in my game, but still it came out broken. That's a huge negative point for me. And yeah, like I saw, it's supposed to provide niche content, and sometimes it feels that the content that is being released isn't really that niche, and a lot of the things we kind of already have in the game. So I don't know what the purpose in kits there then is. Yeah, and last but not least, how much more customization is really needed for Build and Buy and Create a Sim? Yeah, I think I answered that already. There's definitely room for more customization. That doesn't in particular mean to be that customizable that The Sims 3 is, but a little bit more freedom should be provided to the players. And I also think often the argument is used, yeah, but The Sims 3 often overloaded certain systems, and I totally agree with that because I also haven't really been able to play The Sims 3 a lot with a lot of expansions. I think the maximum for me was one or two expansions. But I also think the systems got better over the last years, and a lot of time has passed since The Sims 3. And I'm pretty sure there are ways to provide more customization without overloading systems. Yes, I talked a lot and I talked fast today. This episode was something I was super excited about making. I hope I didn't mess it up, and I really would appreciate if you would check me out on Twitter, if you would give me a rating on Apple Podcasts, or if you would DM me on Twitter or on Instagram. I always love to interact with you, and thank you so much for listening today, and definitely give me your opinion, because that thing I talked about today is really bothering me. I think about it a lot since a couple of days. I try to be as fair as I could be. I didn't want to bash anyone. That's totally not my intention. I just wanted to point out some things that stood out to me lately. And yes, tell me your opinion about it. I hope you enjoyed it and have an awesome day.